there for us, and people do need the Lord, and we need to share the gospel with them, don't we? Thank you, Pastor. We love you and your family. We thank God for you. Connie reminded me before the services to thank you again for the basket and the basket of goodies, and I will have to wrestle her for anything in it, but she's probably going to give me the right hand of fellowship if I try, amen? But thank you very much for a place to stay and good food today and the fellowship. And we appreciate, always love the fellowship with Brother Talbert. We have a good time together. We've prayed together and cried together and preached together. We thank God that we've been able to be friends. So I thank God I have a friend in Kansas. It's not every day you get a friend in Kansas. Amen. But I'm glad he's my friend. He's a blessing. And this church has been a blessing to us. We appreciate your support. And we thank God for you. As you turn to Jeremiah chapter 33, and stand for the reading of the Word of God, I want to get right into the preaching. I do want to say that there's a fellow named Timothy Talbert that came our way. And guess what? My wife had to adopt him. And so I did too. Amen. And we the other day I had to deliver some cookies. He was way up in a balcony. We're trying to get his attention, but he was just so enamored with the crowd, I guess. And I had to zip up there and give him some cookies. I said, now remember, Miss Osteen's got a bunch of these for you. And he's been showing up in front of her every service, I understand. I haven't been there every service, but I came the other night, and because I've been out preaching, and I got there, and there he was. And I said, has he been coming around? I said, yeah, I've sent some cookies, amen. I said, how you doing? He said, I'm working at Dillard's. And I said, how you like the food? He kind of looked at me. I said, not like your mother's cooking. He says, no, not like mom's cooking, amen. So he's trying to get used to school, but I know he's going to do a good job. He's got a good heart, and we're thankful that the Lord sent him our way. And there'll be a time or two he'll be able to come over to our house. Maybe if we get a chance to get him over, so having a couple other guys, that's what we try to do. We adopt some of the students during the year. Usually it's a girl, because I'm out of town all the time, so that way Connie can talk with the girls and stuff. But we got to have Timothy over, amen? So we're going to do that. All right, if you look at Jeremiah chapter 33, look with me, if you would, verse number 1 and following. The Bible says, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it, speaking of Jerusalem and all of Israel, to establish it, the Lord is his name. Let's everybody read out loud verse number 3. Are you ready? Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, concerning the houses of the city, concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword, they come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health. Now notice he just shifts gears. God said, I brought judgment on them, but I'm getting ready to bring blessings. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Verse 3, let's read it out loud again. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. I'd like to preach a little while tonight on God's phone number still works. God's phone number still works. Lord, we love you and thank you that you gave us your phone number. You said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Lord, I thank you for Jeremiah 33:3. Help us understand it. Help us to get a hold of it. And that'll get a hold of us tonight in your name. Amen. You may be seated. God's phone number still works. Now, listen, we have 911 for emergency calls, open 24/7. Aren't you glad for 911? I mean, it's a blessing. No doubt it's helped a lot of families. We've heard a lot of stories about little fellas getting in the closet with the cell phones because mom and dad are getting robbed, and they call the police. I'm glad the bad guy gets caught. Amen. 911, when somebody's out in an accident, and they can get within just a few minutes. You get ones that are in a hard situation, in a bad way. Get those first responders there. And so 911 has been a great help. I remember one time I was pulling out of the parking lot of El Reno at the parking lot there, looking north as I was coming out Redlands Community College, right by Bible Baptist, and I saw a fella. He had jumped on a motorcycle, one of those what we call crotch rockets, and he jumped on it, and he gunned it, and that thing just spun out, and all of a sudden, it took off. And it slammed him on the ground, on that concrete, and it threw him almost all the way into the edge of Country Club Road. And as I was coming out of the parking lot, I saw that happen. I pulled over. I was the first one there. His head hit the cement. And I called quickly, I think within 7 minutes. They had the ambulance there. Another man pulled up, and I had a towel or two in the back of my car. And I got underneath. I got him down, and he couldn't respond other than, oh, like that. I said, sir, just lay still. I began to pray for him, kept him on his belly because so he wouldn't choke. And they got there, and then they metaflighted him to Oklahoma City, and I think he's still alive. I went to visit him, but he's basically a vegetable today with no helmet. He hit that concrete. And what had happened, he had gone in and tried to make up with his wife, and they were having problems. He brought her some flowers. There was some words said. Something happened. She didn't receive it. He came out mad. He got on that bike and spun it out, and that thing just knocked him in. Have you ever seen and it's not trying to minimize the situation, but have you ever seen somebody like in a stuntman, but on a movie where they replaced the person who fell off the wall or the roof, and it was a dummy, and you can just tell it was a dummy the way it hit and the way it flopped? When he hit the ground and he just went out to the road and slid for about 30 or 40 yards, he just was just flopping and he was unconscious, and it was a very sad situation. 911 helped a lot. We got a responder there, and within a number of just a few minutes, and of course, he could have died sitting there, laying there in his own blood. And I remember, I was pretty good in the situation, but when I left, that was it. My day was ended. I had to go home. I was sick to my stomach, but I tell you what, I thank God for 911. I thank God for a quick response. I thank God we can call somebody. That's a help, and that's a blessing. I'm glad that we can call our parents, or we can call our friend when we have a need. I'm glad that we can call our pastor, and we can try to get a hold of somebody that's special to us when we have a time of need. But we know God's phone number. The Bible says here, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things. Now notice that. Listen, why don't you just put it in your phone, not seriously, but in your heart phone. Here's God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. Amen. Did you catch that? Let's say it out loud. Jeremiah 33:3. The Bible says you and I can call on the Lord, and I believe 24/7. Why don't we do it? Why aren't we there calling on the Lord? He already gave us His phone number. He already gave us His opportunity. He already gave us open. How many of y'all believe God's lines are open 24/7? Now, many of it, as far as our connection, has to be that we have to be right with God. There needs to be nothing between us. So we need to make sure the lines are right. There's nothing wrong with the phone company of heaven, amen? God's phone number, and by the way, if we all call at the same time, not a problem with God. It might be a problem with AT&T, but not a problem with God. Amen, it might be a problem with Verizon. They're all saying, who can get connected? Can you hear me now? You know, all this stuff. Listen, I can tell you, God can hear you and I, but we have to be willing to call. How many of you understand that that Jeremiah was speaking and prophesying to Israel, to Judah, and they had come to a point where they quit calling on God? Let me just say, it's a dangerous thing not to have 911. It's a dangerous thing for God's people not to be willing to call Jeremiah 33:3. God's phone number, friend, still works. Are you using it? Now, let's get a background of this. Jeremiah 33 and chapter 32. God spoke twice to Jeremiah to show a sign to Israel and give instructions for the latter days. God spoke first in chapter 32 and verse number 6. Back up, if you would, chapter 32 and verse 6. At the beginning of this prophecy, it says, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, listen, when the word of the Lord comes, we better listen. And we find here that again in this dual prophecy, or the two parts of this prophecy, the second part is mentioned in chapter 33, verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time. And so that's why he said it the second time, because it was two parts to this prophecy. The first part came in chapter 32, verse 6, and now chapter 33, verse 1. Now in the first part of this prophecy, Jeremiah was to perform another object lesson for Israel, to see how God was going to bring them back into the land. It was an 18-month siege by the Babylonians, also known as the Chaldeans, who were against Israel. And if you know, Israel had already, as the 10 tribes, had been led into Assyrian captivity. And this was beginning the 70 years captivity and the time where they were going under the oppression of the Babylonians. And now they were presently enduring this in chapter 32, verse 1 through 3. In this time that things weren't going well, and things were going backwards for Israel, and judgment was there, God still says, my phone number basically still works. You can call unto me. How many times have we been in trouble and we have failed to call on God? We'll call on somebody else. We'll call on a psychiatrist. We'll call on the doctor. We'll call on the nurse. We'll call on so-and-so. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to get advice or to get counsel. God says we ought to do that. But the first one that should get a call should be God. Amen. This period in Israel's history was to start that 70 years captivity, and God said would come because of their sin and idolatry in chapter 32, 23. They had got to the point where they left out God's number. And I understand that the number system in the Bible came later, but the point that we can make today, that God said that you have access to me. And we have access to him today. Before the Chaldeans were to take over, God told Jeremiah in this first part of the prophecy, listen, to buy some land. He said this was a field that he was to buy from his uncle Shalom for a redemptive price of 17 shekels of silver. This was Jeremiah's inheritance land that had been left his father's and it had left his father's ownership and had to be bought back with redemptive money in order to restore to Jeremiah's side of the family. It was all legally witnessed. In order to restore it, we find it was done publicly and sealed in an earthen vessel. Even others throughout Israel were told to do this before the siege was complete. Now, why would God have them buy land that was getting ready to be confiscated by the Babylonians? Now, I'm saying it's like, okay, we've got the Babylonians outside Derby. Before they get here, I want you and every one of you to go find the land that used to be owned by your grandfather, and I want you to get the money, and I want you to purchase it, and I want you to go to the courthouse, and I want you to get it sealed, and I want you to put it in the title in a jar, and I want you to bury it just before they get here. You say, preacher, that's very odd. What God was showing them is that as you buy this land, understand, I already gave you this land. They're confiscated for a season. But it's your land, and there's going to be your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids are going to come back, and I'm going to fulfill the promise that you're going to get the land back. What a promise God was given. That's a merciful God. God said you're going to be a time of correction, but I'm going to bring you back. This is your land because it's my land. I own it, and you're going to possess it. And so God said for them to do that, and they did that. Very unusual, but God wanted to show his covenant promise with them that this was their place. Why would God have them do this? Because it was made legal witness to the fact God's promise to Israel, future restoration, was there. He said he just yearned for them to call on him. God desires his children to call. I love it when my son calls. One of the first things he says, what's up? You know, that's just the way he is. Hey, what's up, Dad? I say, hey, bud, how's it going? You know, we got that great conversation going, you know. Hey, man, what's happening? Yeah, Dad, you know what I did? What's that? And you know, when he talks to Mom, he's got to go through all the explanation. When he talks to me, we kind of know what's going on. Yeah? Mm-hmm. All right. You do that? Good. Hey? All right, bye. Hey, man. That's Bud talk right there, right? And so he called me. This is great. I love to hear from him. I love to hear when he calls me and needs some help and encouragement somewhere or some guidance in some way. I love to get a call from my son. Listen, God loves to get a call from his children. When was the last time you talked to him? When was the last time you rang his phone number? Well, I said, God must be tired of me. Will you stop? God never gets tired of his children. Did you hear that? God's not like us fathers who get irritated. Thank the Lord. God's better than us. I'm glad of that. God wants to hear his children. God wants you to call on him every day, as many times as possible. But he also wants us to be responsible and accountable to what we do. Amen. We see here the children of Israel had left from calling God. They had quit calling on the Lord. He's still showing his great love and mercy to him, even in a time of judgment. Now, the second part of the prophecy brings us to chapter 33, where God makes his great invitation for the people of God to call upon him. Even during this time of judgment that resulted because of their sins, God still was calling his covenant people back to himself in grace and in love. His phone number was available for them to get right, even in the midst of the correction. God said, I'm not going to leave you fatherless. I'm going to take care of you, but you have to call upon me. Look in verse 1 and 2. First, we see a word from God the Sovereign. How many of you believe God is the sovereign God of heaven and the universe? Amen. And all of earth. Even when we are out of control, God is always in control. The it in verse number 2. Look what it says here. Would be Israel. But Jerusalem in particular. He is the Almighty Creator God that made Jerusalem, established it, and declared his name as Lord Jehovah to the world. Because God is interested in his name being declared properly. He will have to destroy Jerusalem's present evil testimony to raise her back up in a time as a glorious witness for his great majesty. Listen, God wants his children to witness of his name. And when you and I got saved, by the way, is any saved people in here say amen? You've got God's name on you. Amen. When your child was born, you gave them your name. And that's important. I enjoy watching my son when he'd warm up at basketball during high school. And I loved that part when they wore their sweatsuits and they're out there warming up. The best part I liked about it said Osteen on the back. Amen. Hey, that's my boy. Yeah, I said, yeah, see him? 6'2", 235, rebounding machine. Amen. That's my boy. I was proud of it, but when he messed up, what? Get with that, let's hustle. Amen. That's my boy. Had my name. I remind him, boy, you got Osteen in the back of that coat. You better make sure you raise it up high. I remember one time they were playing against Southeast High School there in Oklahoma City. They were ranked number one in the state, 6A. Now, the school he played for was like a Class B school, so they asked this team of theirs to show up, and you know they were going to scrub them up on homecoming day. And those guys were running our boys off the court. And I remember at the end of the first quarter, going to the second quarter, I think it was, my son, as he was coming into the huddle, the coach said something to him, and he looked at the coach and said something to the effect, I'm not the only one. He backtalked the coach. The coach said, all right, end of the bench. That was it. He was over that game. Don't backtalk the coach. And my son, I'm thinking, what in the world? He's sitting on the other. Matter of fact, they went at halftime. He came back out in street clothes. He was not playing again that night. And he was a starting forward. And I'm thinking, what did he say? And after we got, you know, in the car that night and going home, and he said, well, he told me why. I said, boy, you deserved it. You don't backtalk the coach. You shouldn't have done that. And I gave him the riot act right there. Well, the next game, they were playing against a team from Durant. And my son, after sitting on the bench, preacher, and realizing what he had done, the next game, he was a scoring machine. What did he score, Connie? 26 points. He probably had 8 free throws. He had, I don't know how many rebounds. He had 2 or 3 three-point shots. He was the MVP of the game. What happened? He changed his tune. Amen? He was all, people were looking at me like, what happened to him? I said, well, he had, you know, the coach put him on the bench, and he needed it. It got his attention. How many of y'all believe God has to do that to us? God has to remind us who's in charge. Amen. Oh, but we know more than the coach. We know more than God. We know more than the preacher. I'm 14. I know more than the principal. Is that the way we act sometimes toward the Lord? Is that the way our pride gets in the way? It sure does. Mine does. So does yours. My pride's no cleaner than yours. It's filthy. And what does it do? It puts a bad light on God's name. And I remind him, boy, you put a bad light on our name. You better go make it up. And he made it up the next game. I mean to tell you, listen, God says for Israel, you're out of fellowship with me. Judgment's coming, and correction's on the way. But I want to let you know that I have to do this according to my justice. But also on the other side, I have grace and mercy. I'm going to make you of a great nation. I'm going to bring you back, and this is your place. I promise you, I'm a promise-keeping God, and I want to bless you. But here's what you have to do. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Oh, I love it, don't you? That we can call on the Lord. He was teaching them a great lesson. as they were even gathering before the rapture and the revelation we're going to find later on in the Bible. The Lord will rule from New Jerusalem. We know for 1,000 years, and He's going to make Jerusalem no longer the off-scour of the earth, no longer a place of battle and discouragement and fighting. One of these days, Jerusalem, amen, is going to be ruled and reigned by Christ, and He's going to be ruling from that throne of David just like He promised, and it will happen. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, friend, you better get in the Bible and find out. The Lord's restored Israel back. And we're coming at the end times, and He will. And so the Lord made a promise to them. So what do we see? We see a word from God the Sovereign. Then in verse 3, I see a word from God the Source. How many of y'all believe God is our source? What were the people to do in the midst of this time of wickedness and judgment and captivity? They were to call again on the name of the Lord. They were given a new phone number to God's heaven's throne room. Jeremiah 33:3. First we see it's a prayer commander. Look what he said in verse 3 of chapter 33. Call unto me. How many of y'all believe that's not a suggestion? That is a command. That is a kindly command that says, I will help you. Call unto me. It's a prayer command. Why would the Lord have to command the people to call unto Him? Well, we see the answer to this in chapter 32. Look in verse 35 through 36. I mean, it makes sense why God's trying to get their attention. Look in chapter 32, in verse 35 and 36. He says, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Moloch. I mean, they had gotten so far away, they had even sacrificed some of their children unto these false gods. He said, which I commanded them not, neither came into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now, therefore, in other words, because of this, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of the Babylon by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. I mean, God said, there's a reason why I want you to call on me, because you've been messing up and fooling around with the world and the heathen out there and the false gods. You're calling unto them. You're calling the wrong number. That'd be like a man getting married, and instead of him getting his wife's number, he's still calling those old girlfriends. Delete them from your phone. Put my phone number in the place and call unto me. Are y'all getting this tonight? Somebody help me. We've got to get back to calling on the Lord. Not calling on our intellect and our abilities and the person across the street and learning the ways of the heathen. That's what Israel did. That's why they messed up. And you find out in the early church, they were calling on the Lord. What messed up along the line? They quit calling on the Lord. They got high and mighty, thinking they can handle this and do this by themselves. What did Paul and Silas do when they were in jail? At midnight, begin to sing and to pray. They begin to call on the Lord. You think God showed up? You know why God's not showing up in many lives today? People quit calling on Him. Let me just say this. Let me just give you something real obvious. He won't answer the phone if you don't call. Huh? I heard a pastor the other day, somebody got mad at him. Preacher, you didn't come visit me in the hospital. But he said to the member or the person, he said, listen, I'd have been there if you'd have called me. Don't get mad at the preacher. Don't get mad at God. Don't get mad at everybody else if you haven't taken the time to call. Amen and amen. Don't make me have to preach that again now. Is that right? We've got to call on the Lord. But we try to work it out ourselves. And we can't do it. So we need the Lord. Oh, a prayer commanded. Why? Israel had turned their face away from God, from the kings down to the smallest child. They had provoked God with their idolatry. They were calling on the false gods. They were failing to dial His number. I wonder how many New Testament believers have forgotten God's phone number and are dialing up Satan, the world, and the flesh to come to their aid. Trying to find peace in the television. Trying to find joy on the internet. Trying to find satisfaction and security off other things and from other places and people. Friend, we need to go back to God. C.H. Spurgeon said it this way, holy prayers are the wings of the soul's deliverance. Notice, the Bible says the Savior calls the sinner. We understand that, Luke 5:30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against His disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that which are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the Lord is still calling sinners to repentance. And we must answer the phone. Amen. The sinners he's talking about, of course, are lost people. But saints must answer the phone too. The sinner is to answer the call with his own call to Christ. How's he to do that? Well, he's to respond. How's he to do that? Well, Romans 10, 12, and 13 says, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." Watch. "For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord." What great promise do we have? "Shall be saved." Don't tell me God doesn't have a phone number. Don't tell me God can't be called. You can call him anytime. "So I'm just going through a problem. I'm going through this. I don't understand. Nobody cares." Stop it. Call on God. He's there. Amen. You have to be willing to do it sincerely. The Savior calls the sinners. The sinner is to answer the call with his own call to Christ. And then saints are to call on the Lord in prayer. 1 Corinthians 1, 2 says, "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified," in other words, set apart in Christ, he said, "called to be saints with all," that means other believers, "that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." God says, I don't care where you're at, as you are to call, like the saints across the waters are to call, the ones that live on the other side of the mountain chain there, and the ones that live on the other side of the earth, all of us can call, as every believer has a right to call on God, because you're one of his children. Man, I get excited about the fact that I can call on God. Amen. There's some folk won't answer my phone. "Hello, this is Brother Osteen. I'm coming through town here. I didn't know if we had a place for me to stay. Did you call me back?" 3 months later, this brother. What happened? There's some people that won't answer the call. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever called and these people didn't call back? Huh? Kind of irritating, isn't it? Especially when you're sincere. You had a good reason to call. Maybe you just said call to say hello. You thought you were a friend. You thought you'd just say hi. I don't know what they were thinking on the other end. Call me. I'm not good. I don't want anything from you. I just want to say hello and see how you doing. Listen, God's not worried about when you call him. He'll answer the phone. Amen. God wants to hear from you. God wants you to call. Are you doing that? Notice we see a promise given. Go back to our text. We see it was a command, and we see now a promise given. He says, "And I will what? Call unto me, and I will what? Call unto me, and I will what?" He said, "I will." Do you believe that? Well, I don't know. Okay, then no, you shouldn't call him. Shut your Bible up, go home, gripe and complain, bellyache how things don't work out in life. Don't you dare call God with no faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when you call God, you ought to be excited. You ought to be stirred. You ought to be desirous to know that God's going to answer. Do you go to the Lord in prayer with doubt? Drag doubt along with you? "I don't understand why God doesn't answer my prayer. I just didn't think he would anyway." There you go. You can't pray. You can't call without faith. You have to have faith. You have to believe God. You can't do it in doubt. Now, this calling is praying, isn't it? It's what we call prayer, or seeking God's face. And so, here it is. It has to be done with a belief that he said, "I will answer thee." God will answer the call of the sinner and his children. He does not tell us to ask if he is not ready to answer in his time. This call is for help and asks for aid from the Almighty God. Listen, God always has an answer. There's going to be three answers. Number one, it's going to either be yes, or it's going to be no, or it's going to be wait a while. Did you catch that? That's the three ways God always answers prayer. Yes, no, or wait a while. God has an answer. Are you ready to receive the answer? Do you want the answer? Can you handle the answer? Sure, you ought to be able to, and I should be able to. A promise given, I will answer thee. Listen, when I go to the Lord in prayer and I call on him and I believe, I know something's going to happen because God said it would. Notice we find in Romans 10, 13, the sinner is promised that they shall be saved. Whosoever shall call. Well, I can't get saved. That's not true. That's lying against God. God says you can get saved. Amen. People say, "Well, I never had a prayer able to get saved." You're able to get saved. Call on the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's clear. There's the promise. The saint is told by God, "I will answer thee." Matthew 7, 7 says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened." I mean, you might have to do some knocking. You might have to do some seeking. You might have to do some asking in earnest. But he said, "If you'll do it, I'll answer thee." We are asked for wisdom in a trial, James 1:5. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll not upbraid you. I'll not scold you like your parents maybe have scolded you. You ever been afraid to ask your parents something that they'll get on to you? Oh, yes, I have. And I'm sure my son has been afraid to ask me something that what's the use of asking dad? We don't have to have that attitude toward God. The Bible says if we ask for wisdom, he will not upbraid us. That word upbraid there in James means he won't scold us. So we can go boldly and we can know that he's going to lovingly say yes or no or wait a while. But go to God. Ask him. Dial his number. Call him to me and I will answer thee. We are to ask in believing faith. Matthew 21:22. He said, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer believing, ye shall receive. We are to ask while abiding in God's word. John 15:7. And so we must be obedient to his word. God's not going to give things to disobedient children. We must be obedient unto him. Spurgeon said this again. He said, it was appointed prayer. He has and made arrangements for its presentation and acceptance. His nature is such that he must hear his children. Close quote. God wants and desires to hear his children. My daddy always says this. He said, your mother just befuddles me the way she can get God to answer prayer. And she's gone through some trials, gone through her second bout of chemo. As far as her cancer came back, and she's still praying and believing God, and God's taking care of her. She's gone through a stroke, but people call from all over the place praying for my mother, but they want her to pray for them. She's a prayer warrior. And my mother always reminded me, you better be believing. No use in you praying, son, unless you believe God's going to answer your prayer. And my dad says, my mother is so great about the way she prays. He said that she's just like a little girl that comes up and sits in her daddy's lap and looks at her and starts asking God. He said, that's the way we ought to pray to God. We ought to just get up in God's lap and talk to him like he's our heavenly father, and by the way, he is, and just talk to him as a little child would talk to daddy. Amen. And that's the kind of heart God wants us to have. Amen. Why don't we just get away from the formalities? Oh, thou most heavenly father, thou art in heaven beyond the mountain. And I just want you to know the great God of heaven, my heavenly Father, Father, Father. God goes, what are you doing? Amen. I mean, come on. Hey, it kind of reminds me of the Pope was up on the Vatican. He was looking out, and he was going, everybody get off the grass. We don't have to do like they do. We don't have to go through 49 catechisms to get to God the Father. Amen. I can pray if I'm laying in the bed, getting ready to get up, driving down the road, walking down the street, amen, going through a tragedy on the mountaintop. God's phone number works right now. Amen. And we must go with respect. We must, hallowed be thy name. Lord, it's Steve again. Thank you, Lord, you're almighty. I usually just go to the Lord. God, you're sovereign. You're mighty. You're my God. I begin to work. The Bible says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. And to his courts with praise. That's how we ought to begin our praying. Let him know how good he is and loving, that you're sincere in heart. And make sure you're right and tender before God and right with God and confess sin. Before you know it, you can ask God anything that comes to your heart. And by the way, don't ask God what you know he won't give you. Ask in his perfect will. And he'll teach you how to pray. But you have to be willing to do it. Call unto me, he said. Call unto me, but you have to do it. Then we see a provision revealed. Look what he said. And show thee great and mighty things. How many of y'all believe when God answers prayer and shows great mighty things, it is a hallelujah. Amen. Israel had seen God show them so many great and mighty things. They had a rich history of calling on the Lord in earnest prayer and watching God provide miracle after miracle. Listen, friend, their flesh and pride moved in such a way to deceive them. They would call on idols or do that which was right in their own eyes and still think things would work out for their good. But they deceived themselves. Their humble and pure heart prayers ceased, and so the reward of great provision ceased. Their submission and love for God were lacking. Today, believers have the Holy Spirit working in them with power if they will walk in obedience and not resist him, grieve him, or quench. When we grieve, resist, and quench the Holy Ghost, no wonder we can't get our prayers answered. Ephesians says this, chapter 3. If you want to turn there real quickly, chapter 3, verse number 19. We see that, as I said, in Jeremiah, and then go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, but in Jeremiah 33:3, we see that he said that we have a provision revealed. He said, and show thee great and mighty things. Ephesians 3:19 and following, he says, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. You want God to give you something you never knew? And give you some new knowledge and things? that only his children can know? Call on him, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is something special for God's children. He says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according, in other words, in unity to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. God says, I will show you great and mighty things, but you have to call on me. You have to believe. He said, preacher, I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through a time I need some things. I need some answers from God. All right, let me ask you, are you tender before God? Are you seeking him in faith? Are you believing him? And are you praying, believing him, knowing that he's going to answer the prayer? He says, you have that right as a child of God. My dad said, son, as he counseled people, he was in his office studying, he had a secretary, and he said, I want you kids to always know that dad's door is open for you. And there was a time or two who is it? It's Steve. And I'd be talking to somebody. He said, is it important? I said, yes, sir. Ma'am, would you and your husband step out for a moment? I'd step in. You know why? Because I had a right of a child to my father to have come into his presence. Dad says, if I'll drop everything, I'll drive across the country to get you. But you have to be willing. And you better make sure that you don't come in with some frivolous, silly thing. Amen. Always know your daddy's there for you. I love that privilege. And I try not to abuse it. Now, we know humanly speaking, we can abuse it. But spiritually speaking, we're not going to abuse it. Amen. God says, call on me. I'm out. God might be out creating another universe. What do you want, child? Hallelujah. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Amen. That's what he wants you and I to do. That's how serious he is about us. And so much. How many of y'all believe God really loves you? Amen. Are you willing to call on him? Then we see from a word from that concerning this, a power unknown. Look, go back to our text. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So we see a power unknown. Oh, we do not have to know and have everything. We just need to know the God that knows and has everything. He's our source and provider, not just our needs, but beyond our knowledge. I'm reminded of something that happened years ago in history. There was a man named Sir Walter Raleigh, was a great leader in England. And often when he went out on the ships and he bargained and he did things for the Commonwealth, he had to go get some source. His resource was Queen Elizabeth. And he would come to her quite often. So Sir Walter Raleigh was making a request for provisions from Queen Elizabeth I when she asked him, Raleigh, when will you leave off begging? And he says, to which he answered, when your majesty leaves off giving. Did you get that? He says, you're the only source I have, and I know I can come to you, and I'm going to keep begging. Because you're my queen. You're my superior. You're my authority. And I'm coming to you because you're my only source. God says, I'm your only source. I'm your king. I'm your father. I'm your superior. Why don't you ask me? Do you think his bank vault is empty? You think God ran out of money? You think God ran out of time? By the way, he's timeless. Hallelujah. We're locked in time. God's eternal. And by the way, God's never late and he's never early. He's always on time. Amen. Hallelujah for that. So what do we see? We see a word from God the Savior. In verses 4 through 8, he talked to them. The Lord spoke to Israel as a Savior for them. He would bring them back in time. And even though he corrected them, he lovingly reminded them about the homeland and the pardon that he has and the cleansing he has for their evils. And Jerusalem would be placed where God's name would be declared from throughout the world and his glory seen. We see a word from God the Supplier in verse 9 and verse 15, how that he was going to take care of them. Look at verse 9. And it shall be unto me a name of joy and a praise and an honor. And he talked about the nations. He said, and he said, the goodness for all the prosperity that I procure to you. Look at verse 15. In those days, and at that time, will I cause the branch of righteousness, that's Christ, to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. Everything is going to be taken care of, but you have to call on me. Understand, I'm your Savior and I'm your supplier. So think with me. What about you and I today? As Israel will go into captivity and be hounded for centuries by every nation, and then there will be that time of the end when they're brought back, and they've already been brought back as a nation, as a people. And it was brought back with a message of whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has declared His glory throughout His churches as they witness for His name with the gospel. What happened? We think God's phone number doesn't work, and we think His phone broke down. So, I don't think that. Oh, yeah, you do. If you quit praying, you do. Actions speak louder than words. When was the last time you really prayed and got a hold of God? I'm a Christian. Wait. You think that the sheep, when they have a problem, that God gave them a mechanism to get to the shepherd's attention? Huh? What do you think it was? It could be just that little... I mean, y'all know the shepherd knows the sound of his sheep. Hey, you mamas, you know the sound of that baby? Miss Connie, you remember when that little rascal used to cry? Dad's sleeping. What's that noise? And you just get up and pop up because you know you're a mother and the heart of a mother knows that sound of that baby. Is that right? Is that right, Mama? Miss Carissa, you remember those little rugrats you raised, amen? And that rugrat my wife raised acts just like her. I don't understand that. But you know what? My wife can hear that, heard that boy. And I could be snoring. Now she says I snore. I don't know if I really believe that, but sometimes I do. You know what? A mother will hear, won't they? One thing about God, He's like the Heavenly Father. He's like our mother. He's our godly parent. And He knows when that baby cries. He knows the sound of our voice. And He knows when Steve goes, God, I need you. And I can just feel Him telling me, what do you want, boy? I'm here for you. Talk to me. How many of y'all know God already knows what we need, but He wants us to call out to Him? That's the joy of a father. It's the joy of a mother. It's the joy of a godly parent. But are you willing to do it? All right, let's think of these thoughts. On saints calling on the Lord in prayer, listen, praying people always know God better than others do. The spiritual people are the praying people. Praying people hear from God when others do not. Why? Because they're humble before the Lord and the line's not closed up. The line's wide open. Their end is right. God's end's always right. But they made sure their end's right. Praying people depend on God more readily than others do. Did you hear that? Praying people depend on God more readily than others do. Praying people see God do things that others only dream of. So when you see God answer a prayer for the other saint, don't get jealous. Just get involved. Learn to pray. Seek God's face. Praying people believe God when others doubt Him. You've got to believe God. So friend, let me ask you. Are you going to dial up God's phone number? What is it? What's God's phone number? Jeremiah? What does it say? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Let's stand. Every head bowed. Everybody close. Lord, help us tonight to call on you. Whatever the need is, that we'll be willing to begin to get the line fixed between us and you. Work in hearts tonight, we pray. Amen. Here are these altars quickly. God's talking to you. God's dealing with you. Maybe you just need to get some things right with God and get the lines open again. The Bible says call. What are you doing? Are you calling? Are you trying to get things right? Are you desiring the Lord? Quickly, as God's speaking to your heart. Some have come to the altar already. What about you? Call unto me. You have to believe Him by faith. Is the prayer that you're getting ready to pray, is it worth talking to God about? Do you believe it? He believes it. But you have to be willing to believe Him to give you the answer. Brother Paul, go ahead and sing unto the Lord. Are you talking to the Lord? Wouldn't this be a good time, a revival, a good time to get God's phone number back in your spiritual phone book? Wouldn't it be great if you start calling on Him and realizing He'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't even know about? Blessings right around the corner. But you have to be willing to call on Him. You know, maybe it's going to take a time of you getting right with God. Get things square with the Lord. And start believing Him again. Here are these altars. What about you, church? What about you tonight? Are you listening? Are you calling?
Jesus,
Jesus.